Welcome to IRM-TV. I'm Alan Keyes, and this is Let's Talk America. Now, of course, there's almost nothing, I think, that's more important for us to talk about these days, and I'm noticing it all over the place, especially among those who still have a sense of responsibility for and allegiance to the existence of the United States of America. I can't say that the need to do it is something that gratifies me, but I am gratified that a lot of Americans are waking up now to the fact that this is the real nature of the crisis that we have been going through for the last several years, actually. It is now clear, I think, to a lot of people who may have had questions about it in the past. They may have listened to people like myself and decided that all said and done, we are going to have to live with the overthrow of our constitutional government. Well, I'll have to say that I don't think that that's something we can live with. And in the course of this program, I'll be exploring that in various ways, including the kinds of threats that we face and what we can do about them. We'll be back right after this.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets. And the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value, that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Tired of being surveilled and tracked by the wireless phone companies and a rogue government? Get off the surveillance grid by turning to Volta Wireless. By plugging the Volta SIM card into your phone, you become hidden from the spy networks of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and other carriers, while maintaining your full ability to place and receive phone calls and SMS texts. Go to VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV to save big on your first month. You get free VPN services included, plus a private messenger that's encrypted, as well as another Volta private phone number that can coexist with your current number. Learn more at VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV for major savings. It works with both iPhones and Android phones across 200 plus countries. Volta Wireless is the official wireless privacy sponsor of Brighteon.tv. If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater. And our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items, professionally vacuum sealed in heavy duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hotze. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hotze Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HOTZEHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
Hello, everybody. This is Kathy Barnett from the great state of Pennsylvania. I love watching Bright Beyond, and you should too.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrightEonStore.com.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
Welcome back, y'all. I have a great pleasure today because ordinarily, and as you know, whether it's with guests or without guests, we can hold forth here about the present plight of the country without much difficulty. But it is much better when you are working with folks who have been studiously both examining our situation and trying to make sure that it's presented in a way that's cogent and accurate to the people of this country. And you also have to do it these days, of course, when you're dealing with issues of politics and so forth and so on. You have to be able to do it reasonably succinctly while still not leaving out anything of great importance. I'd like to recommend to you a book. And we have the two co-authors of the book on the show today. And they'll be holding forth, and I'll be asking questions and commenting, no doubt. But the book is called Welcome to America, How Cultural Marxism is Slowly Destroying America. And I think that that's something that in one way or another, if you really are mindful of politics, you should be aware of. But I think a lot of Americans, even though we have this burden of our citizenship and of responsibility to go to the polls and vote, even though some of us still vaguely remember that Lincoln accurately described the intended form of government here as government of, by, and for the people. I'm not sure a lot of Americans understand that anymore. They occasionally remember the for the people part because they think that government is supposed to be there to give us money and education, all of which is inaccurate, by the way. Our country is premised on the initiative of the people, on individuals who take responsibility for themselves and who are therefore only wanting the government to make sure that we can do so in a way that's safe and that doesn't have a lot of crime and other things going on to get in the way of our conscientious and just efforts. I think the whole understanding of government that we're founded on has been turned on its head, and what is particularly dismaying is that it's being turned on its head by people who are advocating a form of government that hasn't been any darn good, and I had to control my tongue there, anywhere it's been tried that I'm aware of. Everybody else talks about Marxism and socialism and so forth and so on. The thriving of the world has depended for the last half century and more on the success of the United States and on the success of capitalist countries who haven't succumbed to the socialist nightmare temptation. All the rest fail. The only thing they're good at, apparently, and Russia is still proof of this, even though it is supposedly no longer the USSR, the only thing they can do is make war. They don't do anything else better than we do. And the communist Chinese are desperately trying to prove that they do things better than we do. But the fact that they have to steal most of the advances they've made, even for their military, suggests that this is a lie and that even they know it. So what's the matter with us? Well, I'm glad to welcome to the show Stephen Martino and Daryl Brooks. They're the authors of the book that I've been talking about. And y'all, I would just like to open it up by letting both of you discuss or present your sense of, one, why it is you thought that it was really necessary to write this book, and especially right now, and release it, and also talk a little bit about the substance that you have presented and why it is urgently important that people should take the time to read what you have to say. Daryl, why don't we start with you?
Well, you know, one of the things me and Steve wrote a book called 37 Days. It was all about the election fraud. I was a Philadelphia poll worker. And so we wrote the book 37 Days. So going around the state and parts of the country, you know, talking to people about what's happening in our society. And they were coming up and talking to me about the cultural problems, the election problems, the violence that they see in schools, the problems with the LGBT and the trans community. They were also just talking about, you know, these problems that we have in our society in school, that we didn't grow up this way. And so, you know, I remember I tell a story is that, you know, I have a mother, Mama Gracie, down in St. Mary's, Georgia, who took me to church 5 days a week, sometimes six. And, you know, telling me certain things, behavior, having God in your life. And so by sitting there talking with people from around the country, conservatives, and these things are happening to themselves, their children. They see the violence on TV, the documentaries, the movies, the video games. Their kids are committing suicide. Boys want to be girls. Girls want to be boys. The educational system, you know, their kids coming out functionally illiterate. So, you know, I sat down with Steve. I said, Steve, you know, this cultural Marxism is happening all over the country. And the average person, the common layperson, the person who works 9 to 5, mother and father, don't know what's happening. And most cultural Marxism books are based on, are basically for academia. So I said, hey, Steve, let's write something for the common man, mother and father, grandma, uncle, auntie. Let's write something so they can understand. So if they only have a high school diploma, they can understand some of the problems in our society and what they should do about these problems. That's what's so important. I said, Steve, let's put this together. Welcome to America. And listen, me and Steve, you know, I did a great job on this. The information we've putting out, the people that said they love this book because it's something basic understanding about what's happening to America. And also, it's not long. It's about 100 pages. And people are, you know, a lot of people are, you know, when it comes to reading books, the attention span is short. And so I tell Steve, Welcome to America has to be the new book for average citizen about cultural Marxism. People love 37 days. It was short and to the point. You know, Welcome to America is the same, Steve.
No, I agree with you. I mean, the point that we're seeing here is what's going on in America and all of Western society. Cultural Marxism is Marxism dressed up in a different suit. It stems all the way back from the 1920s with the Frankfurt School. Their question was, why did communism not spread throughout the world after the great Soviet revolution? What they came to the idea was that economics is downstream from culture. They're trying to change the economics and get the cultural change. But what cultural Marxism wants to do, Marxist wants to do, is they want to change the culture in order to change the economy. And in order to change the economy, they have to destroy all of Western culture, our beliefs, our history, our gods, and family. In order for them to rebuild and get a new Marxism marched into here in all of Western society, they have to destroy what we have. And that's what we see all around us. We see them attacking family. We see them attacking church. We see them attacking all the institutions that we hold dear in this country. They're attacking marriage. They're attacking biology. So once you're left with that, what are you left with? You're left with nothing. You're left with communism. You're left with the state telling you what to do. And in order for us not to reach that point, Daryl and I said, it's time we put a wake-up call to everyone. Let's show them what's happening. Let's explain what's happening before it's too late.
Well, I'm intrigued by the way you put that, because I thought it was both accurate and in some ways it captures what ought to be the real nature of the challenge Americans face right now and what is implied in it. Because the notion that somehow or another culture is downstream from economics, right? Or economics is downstream from culture.
Correct.
Looked at from a certain point of view, the notion that somehow or another you start with the culture and you get the economics utterly belies the actual experience of the United States. On the one hand, of course, economics is the great success story of America. I've always thought it intriguing, though, because this government of, by, and for the people was thought by most philosophers and cogent thinkers and so forth to be absolutely impossible down through most of history. And it would have surprised the heck out of them that it worked at all, much less that it produced the most powerful, prosperous nation on earth. But I have a question for you. Why is it that most Americans don't realize that the thing we most take for granted in the last half century, which is the success of our economic wherewithal, is the one that cultural Marxism aims to destroy? I mean, it seems to me that most Americans hearing that would say, whoops, this has got to be wrong, because we kind of enjoy it here. And that's why so many people from elsewhere have come and are still wanting to come to the United States. How can they get away with promoting all this garbage when one of the essential effects of that garbage is to destroy prosperity?
So one of the things that, you know, we talk about in this book is the educational system. I mean, you look for the past 30, 40 years of dumbing down of America. When you have high school kids that are graduating from the 12th grade with a third grade reading and math level. When you have, and this is inner city and suburb, Black, white, Hispanic of Americans. When you have these shows like, you know, the craziest television shows on television, and people are watching this stuff. They're watching it. They're functionally illiterate. They work 9 to 5. So everything is a revolution is happening. In the book, you talk about the story of Washington Irving, Rip Van Winkle. He fell asleep. King George III was the king. Wake up in America. George Washington is now president, the first president of the United States. He slept through a revolution. A lot of people in our society, right, in the past 30, 40 years have been sleeping through a revolution. Because of the educational system, because of the TV shows, the violence, the movies, the documentaries, what's on television, Dancing with the Stars, you know, Netflix. So they're being entertained while the revolution is happening. And that's what the problems are we having in our society. There's a revolution happening. My Uber driver, you know, he gave me a ride to the house and he said, who are you? I said, well, I'm Daryl Brooks. I'm an activist and speaking out. Oh, I heard about you. They said, well, they said, I wrote the book 37 Days and now we have Welcome to America. And, you know, our generation has been sleeping through a revolution. He said to me, you know, Daryl, I truly apologize. I have been sleeping through a revolution. I mean, this man had to be in his 60s. And he said he's now getting up and doing things, you know, especially dealing with LGBT, fighting against that, BLM, and also when it comes to gun rights. So a lot of people have been sleeping, meaning watching the TV shows, the video games, a part of Netflix, this whole thing in the world, you know, or they're functionally illiterate. So it's went over their head. But we have done, the conservatives, not yourself, but other ones, have done a terrible job and trying to fight what's going on in our society, this whole cultural war.
Stephen, yeah, you have anything to add?
Yeah, I like to add one quote and one anecdote. I like this quote a lot. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. We've gotten weak here in America. We've lost our history. We've lost a lot of our backbone. We've forgotten it. And the anecdote I want to tell you really stands out really strongly. When my first daughter went to college, we were going down just the bookstore that they had, the school bookstore. And so I was just perusing, you know, the history section, every book in it, why America is racist, how America destroyed the country. It's all anti-American here in the college bookstores. I was not at one bookstore, I was at many looking at it. It's like all propaganda, all woke propaganda. It's teaching us to hate our history, to hate our beliefs, and to hate the Judeo-Christian values that they're based upon. It's being ingrained in us. Mm-hmm. We're creating a weak society. And this weak society is what we see all around us. We're creating hard times for ourselves. We're $30 trillion in debt. That's not good times. How's our kids going to survive with these circumstances? So that's why I always parlay it with that quote, because we're in the last stages of this cycle. And Dr. Keyes, you ask, how could this happen? That's sort of, you know, what this quote explains and shows you where we're going.
Well, see, I'm not mm-hmm. sure though.
But also,
I want to raise an issue because I'm listening, and partly I absolutely agree with everything you're saying, but then on the other hand, I look back over it and I say, well, but we haven't entirely forgotten. We couldn't have. Because we are still a nation of people who will respond, as for instance we're doing, though some people might question the wisdom of doing it. But mm-hmm. our politicians have always had to come to us and explain, justice is under attack, liberty is under attack, freedom is under attack, we must get involved. That is a reminder of who we're supposed to be. But as they say it, where is the chorus of people who have been promoting the truth? See, because I think part of our problem is, yes, with Marxists and so forth and so on, but they've been shooting off their mouths for decades and decades. my entire lifetime, and for at least 60, 70 years before that, Marxism was on the march. They were talking their drivel. What has happened to the commitment to talking sense, to pointing out realities, such as the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the technology that we have developed? All of it rests on an understanding of character and a commitment to work and to an ethic that seeks truth in order to apply it. All of that is still evident to everybody, but we don't promote it anymore. Why aren't we in the business? They're in the business of promoting something that has been an abject failure everywhere it's been tried. We have successfully promoted something that's the alternative. Why don't we celebrate it anymore? I don't understand this.
I think one of the reasons why is, like I said before, is that the leaders, the ones who are educated enough and who know God, and they can promote this agenda against cultural Marxism. For some reason, they have, you know, like I said, it's been academia. They're talking about it in certain colleges, but not everyday life. They're not talking about it on the TV shows. They're not talking about it on through the media. And what else you got? You know, you got corporate America as pushing cultural Marxism. So what's not, you know, if you talk about certain things on YouTube, you talk about certain things on, Facebook and all these other different social media, you get taken down. So there is a serious problem that we have in our society, but we have to, you know, as Christians, I'm a Christian. I love God. You know, Martin Luther King said, true forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown stands God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. God is always there, but we have to know that God is on our side and will protect us, and we have to speak truth to power. A lot of people are afraid, Ambassador Keys, to speak truth to power. A lot of conservatives, so what we're doing is we're going into the inner city, we're going into the suburb, we're doing a tour. Hopefully we ignite a generation of people saying, okay, this has to stop. These things have to fight. You know, we have to fight for our future, our children's rights. And this is why we're doing this tour, Welcome to America tour. We're going all around the cities and the East Coast, and promoting the book. We're giving away 100 books to each city and talking to the people every day about cultural Marxism. So I think that people need to know, but we just have to have our own revolution. Not be afraid of the media, not being afraid of social media. We have to have a revolution. As the cultural Marxists have their revolution, we need to have our own revolution. Come together, working with each other, and truth will always, come to light. You know, Martin Luther King said it best, darkness cannot put out darkness. Only the light can put out darkness. We are that light, and we're trying to be that light to challenge darkness and start the revolution.
Well, we're about a couple of minutes from the first break here. But as you were talking there, I particularly, in my mind, sort of was led to hone in on the way in which this promotion of Marxism, communism, the cultural aspects, which, by the way, are not always characteristic of real communism. And we can talk about that in the second half. Because, for instance, LGBTQ, all this promotion of sexual fantasies and the notion that everybody has to bow down and respect everybody else's sexual fantasies and so forth and so on. Guess who doesn't talk like this, act like this, or even tolerate this to any degree whatsoever?
The communist.
The communist Chinese. The last standing actual bastion of communism doesn't promote all this garbage. Will not allow it in China. It is not a threat there. You don't get to behave that way. Okay? It's also kind of ironical that Putin is now being totally questioned as if he just represents the old communist Marxist way and so forth and so on. That's not quite true. Because one of the differences between Putin and his predecessors, regardless of how you look at the Ukraine or anything else, is that he's not bashing up on religion. He's not telling Russians that they shouldn't go worship and so forth and so on. Quite the contrary, he's gone out of his way to herald the role of God in Russia's thousand-year heritage and have it put in the constitution that they have and so forth and so on. And I raise all of this in order to raise a question, because I think it's important to put the truth out about the lies that are being spread and the nonsense that is represented by cultural Marxism. But on the other hand, I think it is also essential that we start waking up to the fact that our problem isn't that they tell lies. It is that we don't tell the truth anymore. And I'd like to leave that question with you to ponder, and we'll be right back after this.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Many watching Brighteon TV will remember the fiery speech from Dr. Alan Keyes at the annual State Republican Dinner that ended in repeated standing ovations. Dr. Keyes has been an articulate and passionate spokesman for faith, convictions, and consistently strong enough to resist the tug of political convenience. Alan pierces through the ethical haze of our time and calls us to stand up for the truth, knowing that you cannot have the right to do wrong. Get your download of Our Character, Our Future, an audiobook by Dr. Alan Keyes, exclusive to the Brighteon TV audience. Dr. Alan Keyes personally read and recorded our exclusive audiobook version of his timeless essays in Our Character, Our Future for this very special promotion. You can order it by going to www.imtv.us and click on Special Offer. It's available at only $19.95 for a very limited time. You'll not only enjoy a tremendous savings, but you'll get an amazing piece of literature read by Dr. Alan Keyes himself. Get yours today. Go to www.imtv.us and get this Brighteon TV exclusive offer.
We're back. Welcome back, y'all. We're in the midst of a really important and lively discussion with two folks who I think understand the nature of what's being done to us down to the ground, and the fact that we're being sold a bill of goods in the form of all this Marxist junk. And by the way, a point I was making as we ended the last segment, and some of it, though, Daryl, is not Marxist junk. Some of it is just junk. The whole promotion of LGBTQ,
yes,
this is and that, it's just junk. It's not particularly promoted by Marx or Lenin or actually any of the communist rulers. And in China, for example, which is the only, by the way, major, still standing communist totalitarian regime. That's communist China. And they don't tolerate all of this junk at all. LGBTQ fancies governing a real understanding of nature and so forth and so on. Some of this, it seems to me, is a lot of junk invented with a view to attacking what they know to be the sources of strength that raised America to prominence, that was backed up not just by good ideas, but by a result that stunned the world, because it was the first time ever that there was a government of, by, and for the people. And after many thousands of years where people did nothing but scoff at the idea that ordinary humanity was worth anything, ordinary human beings, which is what we by and large were throughout the building up of this country, okay? And when I say ordinary, I didn't mean in any sense of not achieving. I mean in the sense of being people who basically stay within the rules, follow the law, okay? Don't have to be driven by insane ambitions to do evil, but instead go out, work hard, and try to do good for themselves and their families. That's how we built the country. And in point of fact, I see a total unwillingness to acknowledge that and raise it up. And meanwhile, we're wrestling with all this Marxist junk that hasn't worked anywhere it's been tried, by the way, and that really seems to aim mainly at destroying what made us strong. And I say that particularly to finish off the point about the black community. Now, I think a lot of the leadership that is now in control of black cities, neighborhoods, and so forth and so on, sitting on city councils and all of this, representing mostly the Democrat side, the pro-Marxist, Leninist Democrat side, which is also then pushing a lot of the LGBTQ and other stuff, which even 20 years ago, when I was out there on the hustings, I was going to meetings and black pastors were still decrying the immoral agenda that is now being promoted by the black leadership. Meanwhile, crime rises, families deteriorate, the presence of jobs and other things, and the only thing that seems constant now in the black community is crime, fear, and the deterioration of the prospects of black people. This isn't just all about, I don't think, the fact that I do have communists out there promoting this and that. What has happened to the common sense that says, no, you can't lead me because you're leading me to destruction? Why don't black folks wake up, look at the devastation around them, and say, this is not working. It's not working in Chicago. It's not working in Atlanta. It's not working in New York. It's not working anywhere for black Americans. So why are they still tolerating these people who push all this nonsense while filling their own pockets with money and power?
Hello?
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense at all. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, so one of the things is that we've had... Oh, okay. So one of the problems that we've had, I guess, in the last 20, 25, 30 years of this bad leadership, bad preaching, bad political leaders, leaders that go for community activists who go for the Democratic Party. So whatever the leftist Democratic Party says to them, they have to agree with it. And they were so afraid. I've known preachers like, you know, and, you know, I have to say they're handkerchief heads. You know, they have went to the preachers. The preachers have told me, say, Darryl, you know, I'm too afraid to speak out about LGBT. I'm afraid to speak out about these other issues because the Democratic Party would come down on them. You know, so why are you preachers? You know, and why are you just, you know, why are you afraid? And so that's one of the biggest problems we had of individuals that are afraid, you know, who are not down with God, but down with the money in the Democratic Party. So that's a major problem that we've had in the inner cities, bad education. And not just in the black community, but all over, when you have these young kids believing in the most foolish things and accepting, you know, You know, like I said, I go back to Mama Grace. She told me about these things in the 70s and 80s. Now, as we're in the 21st century, more a generation of young people has been accepting of the wrong things, but because they keep voting for the political leftist African-American leadership. And that's something serious we have to have a great conversation about. Why are these things happening? What to do about these things? Let's have a conference. Let's invite all of us to a conference and have a discussion. What do you really stand for? Why you keep voting for politicians that don't believe in God and believe in Marxism? And, you know, and believing in LGBT, bad education, Philly, Camden, Newark, Jersey City, Baltimore, Washington, Atlanta, Chicago, L.A., all these major cities have gone to hell. And what I think is the major problem is individuals aren't speaking the truth, who are afraid to go into these inner cities and speak the truth. A lot of us are on the right who are maybe afraid because the Democrats and the leftists are not afraid and they're pushing their agenda. We have to have a revolution. This is what we're doing, me and Steve, pushing a revolution in these areas because the people have to wake up. There are people who are waking up and saying, not be afraid. God is on your side. Don't be afraid. I am with you. You've always said that. So if we can get leaders, individuals who are not afraid to stand up and speak the truth to power, we'll be all right.
Well, see, I agree with that wholeheartedly, but part of the problem mm-hmm. is that the people who are in the midst of the disaster appear to, I don't know, be willing to tolerate the election of folks who actually believe that the disaster is a good thing. Prime example of that, I believe, is now mm-hmm. the city of Chicago. See, there was a time when the bossism and Democrat control of Chicago actually paid dividends for the people who were voting folks into office. But now you look at the situation in Chicago today, and the only dividends that are being reaped in terms of a situation that creates fear, that destroys the livelihoods of people, that has skyrocketing crime, and that does other things, including attack mm-hmm. the educational system, so as to produce the kind of mm-hmm. chaos that will then contribute to the rise of totalitarian socialism. That's the real nature of Marxism. The goal yeah. isn't to help people. The goal is mm-hmm. to destroy the help that has been available to people,
destroy.
The prosperity that has been available to them. Given that that's the case, Stephen, why is it that mm-hmm. across the board you have a lot of people, and I don't understand it, whether it's black folks or white folks, why any American today with any common sense votes for a party that even at the top level now has no agenda but to take everything that contributes to our well-being and say, nope, that's off limits now, you can't use that. Can't use fossil fuels. No, we don't want that. Can't use natural gas. No, we don't want that. Can't have oil pipeline. No, we don't want that. So we're not going to be able to move the goods and so forth. The only thing we'll tolerate is we'll tolerate electrification, even though it's not going to catch up with what is needed to sustain our ability to feed and clothe and otherwise develop ourselves. This is an insanity for anybody who's willing to tolerate it. Why is it? There's nothing in that Marxist palaver that explains why you have to undo every good thing and promote every bad thing that hurts the country in order to achieve your objective. But we are now tolerating Democrats in office with their bills who are doing just that. Why can't we get folks across the board, including, by the way, and this particularly irks me, because here we have now a Democrat Party that includes an element, I think, in the whole palaver of Marxism that wasn't really there in this guise because too many of the communists promoting it were white. So they didn't go around talking as if all white people are evil, because then you wouldn't listen to Marx either. You'd mm-hmm. have to find some alternative. Mm-hmm. But now we let these jerks get away with telling us the white people are racist, everybody's racist, and anybody who's racist, you gotta get them out of there. And yet, the ultimate result of that is going to be further deterioration in the prosperity and opportunity available to everybody. Why are white folks giving into this nonsense?
Yeah, the cultural Marxists, all the way back from the 1920s, who actually started all this nonsense, called it the long march through the institutions. Antonio Gramsci wrote about it. His goal was to brainwash the masses, and that means take over the mainstream media, Hollywood, schools, the military, Facebook, you know, updated Facebook, Google. So you inundate people with a message long enough, you say something to someone long enough, they actually believe it. In the face of truth, this becomes their new truth. They've heard it so much. There's a famous interview by a KGB agent of, you know, what things you need to do to brainwash an entire generation of people. We're looking at it right here. And also, what they do is, as Daryl went on and talked, they use the scare tactics. That comes back from Saul Alinsky, the Clinton's mentor, Bill Ayer's mentor. People are afraid to speak up, because what happens is they don't attack just your institution, they attack you. Their goal is to isolate you from family, friends, business. So as Saul Alinsky in his book Rules for Radicals show, and what the Democrats do so effectively is if you don't go along with them, you're canceled. And when you're canceled, that means from friends, business, from everything you hold dearly. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy everything about you. So people are afraid, as Daryl was talking about.
Well, it's easier to go with the people. But some of what they do is so obvious. And it doesn't necessarily persuade folks at the grassroots, pretty much anywhere. The one I think of mainly, which has an object lesson in it as to how we can fixate on certain aspects of this and not others. Remember the movement that they were promoting to defund the police because it was a natural outshoot of trying to turn everybody in a direction that, oh, America's racist and we got to fight racism. In order to fight racism, we need to defund the police. We need to get rid of the police forces and so forth and so on. I noticed that didn't really get anywhere, particularly in the areas that are suffering from the most crime. And so when it became perfectly obvious, there is now a connection between this agenda and the actual really worsening situation we face in terms of security on our streets, in terms of the security of our property, in terms of the security of our persons from rape and murder and other things like this. And people stood up and said, no, don't want this. None of this defund the police stuff. And suddenly they had to drop the slogan. Reality does catch up eventually. I'm just wondering why one doesn't make it clear that in every area where they make promises, the only actual result is the deterioration of the situation.
So what I've always said is the ignorance of people. I remember on a train one day, it was these individuals, African-Americans. And they were saying to me that when Trump got elected, Trump was going to send African people, black people, back to Africa. You know, he's going to make us all slaves again, and send us all back to Africa. And then they start talking about Trump's a racist, he's this, he's that, he's a Messiah. You know, he's one of the worst presidents in history. And so where did you hear that from? Oh, CNN said it. MSNBC said it. So it's like, do you know anything about these people, the MSNBC and CNN? No, they're the greatest. So you have individuals, like I said, who are basically uneducated, but who are ignorant towards politics, towards social issues.
I have to interrupt you 1 second, because I'm not sure that's true.
So
these are things on happening. The very point that you're making about Trump's impact, right? Truth of the matter is, black folks did not ignore Trump's impact. Trump began to enjoy the highest numbers ever enjoyed by a Republican in the black community, including, by the way, actual numbers that said, for the first time, not just in my lifetime, but ever, you had black males rising in job opportunities to a level of 41%. That was the figure that sticks in my mind. That was a major breakthrough. Hadn't been seen like before. And black people responded by saying that they were going to support Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they really knew they had to take the gloves off, cheat, lie, do everything they had to do in order to defeat Donald Trump. He was winning, and it wasn't because black people didn't see. I think the 38 murders in Chicago are not lost on black folks. I think the deteriorating condition of safety in all the neighborhoods, more people being raped, more children being in danger, more gangs looting and murdering, that's not lost on black people. I just don't believe this at all. I think that itself is propaganda. Black people know that they're being hurt. And the Democrats then start whipping up the frenzy like somebody else is hurting them. When in point of fact, every city that's hurting right now is under Democrat control with Marxist-Leninists pushing the agenda. Am I making sense?
You're definitely right, but they know they're being hurt, but knowing who the ones that are hurting the inner city black people. So what it is that, you know, the Democrats do a great job saying, you know, Trump is the problem. Trump, Republicans. Not knowing, okay, well, you know, not saying that the Democrats are the problem. So there are people who are totally ignorant of politics, ignorant of history, ignorant of what's happening to the society. But they keep pushing CNN, MSNBC, these inner city activists, these inner city preachers, inner city politicians are pushing that agenda. Okay, so the reason why these things are happening is because of the leadership that is affecting the inner city, their own kind of sticking a knife in their back. You can't blame that on Trump. But the media says Trump this, Trump that. And if you're a certain educated, like I said, if you're graduating from the fifth grade, you graduated from 12th grade with a third, fourth grade education. You believe everything you've been watching on CNN, MSNBC, all off the years. They tell you it's right. They're going to tell you this is what it is. And you're going to believe it because this is all you've been listening to for years, for 20, 30 years. And it's terrible and it's destroying America. This is why we have the book, Welcome to America. We're trying to wake up people because of ignorance of what's happening to our society. People want to find out. They want to speak the truth. They want to know what's happening. But, you know, these things are happening. This is why in 2020, they tried to burn down CNN in Atlanta. You know, there are people who are waking up, but not enough. We need to wake up the masses.
I guess. And I wonder whether we don't spend so much time acknowledging the truth about the bad schemes of the Marxist, Leninist, and the enemy, that we don't notice that good does not go unrewarded. I am one of those people, and I abhorred the notion of that I'm an election denier. I don't deny the election in 2020. At all. The election took place. It was just a fraudulent election. Used to be a time when Americans understood that when there's a fraudulent election, you are supposed to literally get up in arms sometimes and say, no, this is a fraud. We won't tolerate this because elections are supposed to be real. Now you're an election denier. I don't deny the election. I deny the legitimacy and lawfulness of the election, which is supposed to be guaranteed under our Constitution. Okay? And so I'm not
you're definitely
saying that. But if they had to cheat, and I believe they did, in order to win the election in 2020, according to their claims, guess what that suggests? That black people haven't been not noticing. They were noticing. And Trump was garnering more black votes than they ever could tolerate in Pennsylvania and areas like this. And so they had to cheat. Okay, now I know from my own experience in politics, the cheating has been going on the Democrat side forever. First thing I was told when I ran in Maryland, don't waste your time on the precincts in Baltimore, because they're cheap. They're rotten to the core. And I went in anyway, because I wanted to show the flag. You've got to tell people the truth. You've got to see what actually resonates with folks. But it wasn't going to defeat the cheating, because that was rampant. And there's not a mechanism yet to correct it. I think we make a mistake, though. We say that the outcome of elections in black communities where the Democrats now cheat routinely in order to compensate for their failure to mobilize black votes, that that's something that's the fault of the people, when in point of fact, it's the fault of the cheating. Am I making any sense? Because I think we're doing ourselves a disservice as a country, particular communities, if we let people who are liars and cheaters get away with making us believe that the outcomes that result from their lying and cheating are honest outcomes.
You know, you're definitely right. When you look at, you know, when you tell people about, you know, they say, oh my God, we don't cheat in our elections. American Philadelphia, we don't cheat around the country. But they praise John F. Kennedy. He cheated. His father helped him get elected in Chicago. They cheated in Chicago. And it's praise. It's part of the whole Camelot. You know, so it's like, okay, wow, people, really? That's what you have, the ignorance of our society.
Well, I think it is. But it's also something promoted mm-hmm. by the elites because it secures their hold. And we're down to the wire here. I hope y'all will come mm-hmm. back because we just scratched
yes.
a nice surface here. We've got so many mm-hmm. other aspects of this to explore that I'm going to ask John to see whether we can arrange for mm-hmm. y'all to return and we can continue it. But because I think that you are absolutely right about what the Marxists are doing. But I also think that there's an aspect of this where we need to understand how much of the outcome depends on the neglect of what is really happening, which is not in accordance with their lies. Anyway, thank you for coming on today. Enjoyed a lively discussion. We'll be back right after this.